Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hour 2 of Faith Radio Mornings here on the 10th of October. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and I'm sitting alongside producers Logan Rausch and Paul Perot in the studio. They do such a great job running the sound and keeping the news flowing every morning for all of us as we talk about relevant news items, special interest topics with guests from around our country, and we'll do so from the Christian perspective of real faith and genuine hope. And certainly our guests will have their opinions. Some of them are going to be more conservative-leaning. Some of them will be more liberal-leaning, but all of them will be following the same Jesus. And it's important to stay anchored to that, not discipled maybe by Fox News or CNN, but remain followers of Jesus. And one of those people is in studio with me, Bill English, right now of BibleandBusiness.com. He is our regular Wednesday guest on Faith Radio Mornings at this time. And I know you love to chat with Bill when you have the opportunity as well. So he is here and available if you want to text or call the studio at 877-933-2484, and Bill is certainly willing to take any questions you might have about business, about your vocation, and about even the subject we're going to cover in a little bit, which is how do we handle job separation, whether we are quitting and need to know how to do that on good terms, or whether we're terminated by the organization. One of the trickiest things that we can engage with from a business standpoint. So good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning. Being discipled by Fox News. Now, there's a phrase I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, we have a theologian who's on the program regularly, Bill Ashford, who does a lot of writing actually for Fox News, and he's covered around the nation, and he talks specifically about avoiding being discipled by these news organizations. We spend a ton of time. Oh, did I say Bill? Bruce Ashford, not Bill. Bruce Ashford, and he talks at length.
Logan's laughing.
Yeah, I know Logan, but Logan laughs at me all morning long, which is wonderful. He talks at length about what we let into our minds, you know, and I think many of us end up watching a news source for 2, 3, 4 hours at a time. And our minds, Bill, are malleable. There's a plasticity in our brain. We really do get impacted by those things upon which we dwell. And it affects the way we view the world. And I think many of us unknowingly are sort of shaped by news organizations far more than we are by the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and that's because we put way too much stock in what government and news organizations can do for us, right? Yeah. And those people, by the way, are very skilled at keeping your attention, whether it's radio or television or whoever. Their whole job is to capture your attention, keep you there for as long as possible, so they have higher ratings and they can charge more for their advertising.
Yeah, certainly within churches and businesses and including the media, there's a lot of demographic analysis done to try to understand the psychology of people. And then it gets to be this reinforcing kind of reality where the host of a show or somebody who is on one of these sites understands the psychology of their audience and plays to it to keep them sort of stuck to the show. It's one of those things, frankly, Bill, that I have trouble with ethically and morally, that can you use people's psychology against them, whether it's in marketing, whether it's even being a radio show host like this?
Against them, I don't know, but you can use it to your leverage to try to gain new customers. That's what marketing is all about. I mean, 98% of marketing is about that concept.
Yeah, I know that in the biblical text, Jesus says things like, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't swear an oath under heaven or earth. And so often what we want to do is sort of swear this oath or do something that will override another person's judgment. That's really what's underneath that passage Jesus is talking about, is what practices do we do to try to get past somebody's judgment in order to get them to do what we want them to do. And marketing, you've been in business a long time. I would love your take on that idea that, you know, marketing can effectively get past people's critical analysis and their judgment, and pretty soon we've got them, you know, and we call it nice terms like customer retention or stickiness and those sorts of things. I'd be curious your thoughts. Can marketing ever truly be ethical if we're getting past people's judgment?
Well, yeah, what goes through my mind when you were saying this, because I've never thought about it from this angle, is losing control. Do we lose control of our ability to make volitional choices? Right?
Absolutely.
And so if we're leading somebody to a place where they really don't have a volitional choice, then that probably is sin on our part. And I don't know where that line is. That would be a very fuzzy gray line. How much of marketing does that? I don't know. Do you, you know, you put a pretty girl next to a car. Are you looking at the car or the girl, right? You
know? Exactly. Yeah.
How much of our marketing is built around really the base instincts, that we have, either fear or, wanting to be accepted through sexuality. Or, you know, you can probably name a couple others. Satisfaction probably would be a third one. Convenience or comfort would be a fourth one. You got to really be careful as a Christian in your marketing. I do think it's possible to be done, but you don't want to embellish. You don't want to extend that too far, and you need to be very careful about what you're saying.
Well, it's certainly an important conversation, and maybe we can cover that segment sometime in our segment on BibleandBusiness.com about what it means to be marketed to and not letting some of these news organizations shape our thinking so much.
Sure.
That's Bill English of BibleandBusiness.com. And, Bill, when we come back, we'll cover a little bit about your trip to Israel coming up here. I know we're very excited about that. And then we'll talk specifically about how we can gracefully handle the separation process when we have to leave an organization. So lots more to come with Bill English here from BibleandBusiness.com. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I always love that Huey Lewis and the News song, The Power of Love. Bill and I have to clue Logan in sometimes here in studio that there was music before the year 2000, and this was one of the great hits that Bill English loves, and it's part of his walk-up music for this great Wednesday segment that we do, BibleandBusiness.com. And Bill, you're heading to Israel, from what I understand. Is it next week?
No, wheels up Saturday morning, 8:30.
Wheels up on Saturday morning. So you are getting out of Dodge just before the snow, or kind of as the snow is hitting Minnesota here, really early in the season.
It's 82 in Tel Aviv. What can I say?
Oh, you're killing me. Well, so you've been to Israel before.
Yeah, I have.
And if you can kind of just project out in your mind's eye, if there is one place you just say, I can't wait to get back to there, where would that place be? Has there been a specific place? Because I know when people go to the Holy Land, it has a pretty meaningful impact in terms of the sacredness of the land. Is there a place that you just can't wait to get back to?
Sea of Galilee. It's okay. Just so beautiful there. And so much of Christ's ministry was around the Sea of Galilee. His headquarters for his ministry was in Capernaum, as we know. And, of course, that's where he raised Peter's mother from the dead. And we're going to go to the church where, you know, Jesus walked. And there's a lot of things in the Sea of Galilee. It's such a beautiful, restful, quiet place still today.
There really is. There's such a distinct lack of commercialization around the Sea of Galilee. I know I so enjoy Jerusalem, but at times I just think, oh gosh, it feels a little bit like the Wisconsin Dells or something. You know, it's been over commercialized in parts. It still is amazing. But when you get into more of the remote places like the Sea of Galilee, there really is this sense of, boy, this may have been what it was like 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been all that different 2,000 years ago when Christ was here. I love the Sea of Galilee. Personally, I don't care for Jerusalem all that much, even in spite of all the history there. It's just so commercialized. But I do like also, what was the other place? It just left my mind.
Well, the interesting thing about Israel is how small of a country it is and how diversified the geography of the land is. I mean, you have snow and mountainous regions in the north, and that's the equivalent of driving from Minneapolis to Duluth. And then in the south, you've got the Red Sea and the Dead Sea and all the it's just a phenomenal place geographically.
Yeah, a lot of people like to go and float in the Dead Sea. I don't particularly care for that, but the weather there around the Dead Sea is amazing. Masada, I'm looking forward to seeing Masada again.
Yep.
And I'm also looking forward to seeing the caves and the cliffs of En Gedi. I also found that that looking at the valley between Jerusalem way on the left, way in the distance, and Jericho way on the right in the distance, and then thinking about how Elijah and Elisha traversed that before Elijah was taken up into by the chariot of fire. I think that's another great place to be. So for those who have never been to Israel, what you have to, you know, if you get a chance to go, you got to go, because it just uncorks how you read the Bible.
It
so
really does.
Much of the scriptures is enhanced by understanding the geography of the land.
And to your point, when you go to the caves of En Gedi, for example, and you see where David was likely hiding from Saul as he was on the run, I mean, it really does bring those stories to life. Well, we look forward to when you come back, give us a report. You're gone for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're gone for 2 weeks. 14 days we're gone.
Great. Well, I know for our segment today on BibleandBusiness.com, you sent some notes around how tricky it can be when there's a separation of employee from the organization. And sometimes that separation happens because of resignation or they quit their job. Other times it's because the employee is terminated, sometimes for financial reasons, sometimes for moral reasons, lots of different reasons why there's a separation. Let's get into some of the different dynamics of that. And if you have a question about this specific situation as you're listening, you can certainly call or text at 877-93-FAITH. And Bill, this is pretty raw for you at this point. You just went through a situation where there was some termination that happened.
Yeah, we just in this turnaround that we're doing, we finally hit the spot where we had to terminate some positions, you know, eliminate some positions in order to get to break even and start to build ourselves towards profitability. We did everything we could to avoid that, but it just didn't work out that way. And so, yeah, it's pretty raw for me. I think from a Christian perspective, if you're the employer doing the terminating, A, you need to show respect, but B, you need to remember that God has something in this for the employee. God may be moving them along to something else. If you're the employee, always hold your job with an open hand and don't think that you have to have it in order to be sustained financially or otherwise. If someone comes along and terminates you for whatever reason, just realize that is very well your opportunity to trust God and to say, okay, God, what's next? And not really hold your position with such a closed fist.
And as you went through this termination process here recently, do you get a sense when employees come in the room that there's kind of that uh-oh, and they sort of sense that it's coming? So what are even, I've got to believe the first maybe even minute of that conversation is some of the most important part of that conversation? Or how does that go for you, Bill?
You know, what I figure is that within 30 to 45 seconds, their emotions are through the roof, and whatever I say after that, they're not going to hear.
Yeah.
They're not going to process it. So I'm very clear. In this instance, I said this is strictly a financial decision. This is not performance related. And I'm sorry, but this is your last day here at this particular company. And then our HR director took over and started to talk about, you know, the various exit elements that HR has to talk about. I hate those days.
Yeah.
I've done that several times. I've laid off a number of people. I hate it every time. It takes me the whole weekend. I literally went home, and on Saturday I slept most of the day, and on Sunday I slept a good part of the day, except during the Vikings win over the Eagles. That was fun. I was kind of depressed.
Yeah.
You know, Friday night and Saturday and a good part of Sunday. Those are hard things. You get in, you have to be clear, to the point, get out. There is no good way to do this. There is no way to do this without some people feeling like you just slapped them in the face, or some people feeling like you were just totally disrespectful. Why didn't you do it this way? Why didn't you do it that way? It doesn't really matter how you do it. It's not going to come across well.
And I suspect you see a range of emotions in those moments. I mean, there was quite a few employees from what I understand this time around, and I've got to believe you see anger, you see sadness, you see a range of things, and boy, it's got to just be so difficult.
People's true colors come out. And some people get real mad. Some people are very accusatory towards you. And yet I had some people who are crying and saying, I know how hard this is for you, Bill. And your heart just goes out to them because they have such good hearts. They're really good people, and you don't want to let them go, but you don't have a choice.
Well, and I would think in those moments how people respond can actually set a pathway in the future in terms of not burning bridges organizationally in any situation. I'd love to talk. We'll take a short break. Yeah. I'd love to talk with you about that topic when we come back, is whether you've been terminated or whether you're choosing to leave an organization, how you do it well so that bridges aren't burned relative to the future. So more to come with Bill English here from BibleandBusiness.com. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and having an enjoyable and insightful conversation with Bill English of BibleandBusiness.com. And Bill, before the break, we were talking quite a bit about terminating employees and the difficulty around that. And you mentioned during the break that it really does go against the grain for us as believers, because we're meant for a relationship with each other. And then all of a sudden we see the termination of this relationship. Boy, that is just really hard for everybody involved.
It is. And so, you know, what you try to do is couch that in terms of, I'm terminating a professional relationship. I'm not terminating a personal relationship with you. But that's really tough to separate that out.
Well, and certainly I know churches can really struggle with that, because in theory, they're supposed to be part of the one body, community of God together kind of thing. And again, this would be for an entirely different segment, but how do churches live vocationally with each other in the midst of what's supposed to be these Christian relationships?
You know, I think if you're a business owner or a business leader, you have to really think twice about employing people in your church, and you have to think twice about employing family or friends. It just, in this society, in this day and age, given the number of transitions that we have, both employees leaving and employers terminating, it just seems to me that you might be better off just having an arm's length transaction all the time.
Well, and I think people, especially when there is this transaction of this termination or separation that happens, if there's any amount of frustration that's underpinning it on some level, I think the temptation in the moment, right, is to say something that you might end up regretting much later. And how important is it that you keep the bridges intact? And it doesn't mean that you stuff or stifle everything that might have been difficult, but boy, burning bridges is never a great policy in terms of just life in general. How do you keep bridges intact, whether you've been terminated, whether you're walking away from the job? What does that look like to you?
Again, Bill? I think I come back to the comments I made at the beginning of the first segment. You have to understand that God is in control. God is sovereign. If you have been terminated, that's God's indication that he's moving you along to something else. No need to get angry at your employer. These burning bridges are always based in the soil of anger and potentially revenge, right? You just don't want to live there. That's not how you want to have a relationship. That's not what God calls us to.
Well, and I think to the extent, Bill, that that's been part of my journey as a business owner, we've had to let people go from time to time. And you really still, you want to really support that person. You really want to come around them. And so for those people that don't burn bridges when they leave, it's really easy as a past employer to support them, and vociferously so at times, and say, you really should hire this person. I mean, it's really about the future, whether you ever come back to that organization or not. It's really about leaving those relationships intact.
So for some of the relationships that we've had to terminate recently, at Platinum at least, we come back around and we offer consulting contracts to help them finish up some of their work, and maybe to not cherry pick, but to grab some of their core competencies and use them in the future on a consulting basis. We also are loath to burn bridges at Platinum. So if we do happen to terminate somebody within a particular engagement that we're on, we'll see if there's another engagement we can invite them into at some point in the future, just to let them know that this was only about that engagement. It wasn't about them as a person. And so I've actually done that with two people who last Friday we had to kind of end the professional relationship. I'm already bringing both of them into other engagements so that they know it's not personal.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've probably dealt with this personally along your own journey, too. I know when I was 32 years old or so, I was serving a pastor of community life in a large church and got the news just before Christmas while my wife was pregnant with our second child that they were going through a reorganization, and we were shifting some of the staff positions, and my position was being eliminated. Boy, those first few moments are really, really difficult. And yet, because the bridges were left intact in those moments, it circled back around, and we stayed part of the organization, in that case, a church, in a lot of ways, even began to work there at other times in the future. It does speak to, as troubling as it is, and Hallie and I were quite concerned about our future in those moments and frustrated at levels, of course, all of what you would experience in those moments, but you just never really know what the future is going to hold otherwise.
Well, and that's why if you are employing or being employed by someone at your church, just understand that a termination can affect the entire body of Christ in that church. And that's why, unless you've got really two mature parties there, I really shy away from hiring people that I go to church with, or very, very definitely do not hire my friends or my family.
Well, that would be a topic, too. We've got a couple minutes left here. I know that there's quite a bit of advice out there where friends might have good ideas together. And then some friends will end up saying, you know what, we probably shouldn't work together because it doesn't often end well. And so if the professional relationship ends, oftentimes the personal relationship ends as well.
It does. It does. And that's why, you know, if friends want to get together and start a business, you really need to shore up the buy-sell agreement. You need to shore up the roles, the methods of accountability. You have to be able to take the friendship hat off and put the partner hat on and really actually be a partner. You probably need third party to help you put that together.
It's Bill English of BibleAndBusiness.com. Bill is actually headed to Tel Aviv as soon as this Saturday, from what I understand, right?
Yep, headed there, and then best practices.
Yeah, oh, you do have a conference coming up as well. That's
mid-November,
so tell us in our last minute or so here a bit about the Best Practices Conference.
Yeah, Best Practices Conference is going to be held on November 14th. It's our third year at Platinum doing this.
Yeah.
I'm the main energy behind it. And we're going to have some really top-notch speakers come in and talk about the best practices for how they either run their business or rejuvenated their business. So just some quick highlights. Lee Schramm, CEO of Deluxe Corporation, is going to be speaking on how to reinvigorate our dying business. Howard and Julie Tripp at Real Avid in Plymouth, Minnesota, an outdoor hunting accessory company. They're going to talk about how they've been married for over 30 years and been business partners for over 30 years. They got a great business and a great marriage. What do they do to make that all work, right?
Wow.
I'm going to talk about Platinum's top 10 best practices for small business owners. I encourage you, if you're a business owner or a business decision maker, November 14th, it's a Wednesday, half day. Go to bestpracticesconference.com. Check it out. We'd love to have you there. It's only $79 a person, so we're not charging an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
You need to be there. Bestpracticesconference.com.
Well, and I think about how many business owners don't have ongoing input into their lives because they're always the ones making the decisions. And this really does seem like a great opportunity for small business owners to come. Very affordable half-day conference. Remind our listeners again, if they want to participate, where they can go to sign up.
Just go to the website, bestpracticesconference.com.
Yeah, highly recommend it. That's Bill English of BibleAndBusiness.com. And Bill, have a great time in Israel
next week.
We'll look forward to chatting with you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks.
Interesting breakpoint about the Gosnell movie that is being released this weekend. I know on Faith Radio Mornings on Friday, in our last segment of the day, one of the producers of the movie is going to be joining us and talking about how difficult it was to get that movie even produced in Hollywood, actors shying away from the process, not wanting to be part of it. So it should be a great morning on Friday talking about that movie. Well, up next, we'll be joined by John Wood and Rob Robertson of BetterAngels.org, and they'll be talking with us about how we can break through some of the polarization and rancor in our country, and maybe we could actually take some steps back towards one another in all these conversations. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Dr. Rosemary Stein, and we were talking about the impact that two-parent families can have on our kids. And I know many people are struggling as a single parent and such heroes in that, but really, if there can be a second parent along, we see the impact that it has.
God didn't create the family by mistake. The more loving hands that are unconditionally loving that child, the better that child will do. But when you have the benefit of the balance between a male and a female, I truly believe that that child does better. In the end, even when a kid makes a mistake at the practice, I can see when that child grew up in a mom-dad home that would bounce things off of each other, that child does best. Even among my teenagers, my female teenagers that kept pregnant at 16 or 17, I don't lose hope because I know that that young lady grew up in a good home and she's going to be loved and accepted. And the other thing is that she has examples that she's going to point to how to raise her child. And that child winds up doing so much better than if she had only a mom.
It's Dr. Rosemary Stein, just talking about some of the recent research that's come out about how kids fare better in a two-parent home. If you want to catch that entire segment, you can listen to Rosemary Stein at MyFaithRadio.com. And I would also recommend checking out Eugene Robinson from Monday's show, because he talked about how fathers can really come alongside of other kids that maybe don't have a father, and we can do this whole thing together. Well, I see up next on the line we have John Wood and Rob Robinson from BetterAngels.org, and we'll be talking about how we can resolve the political rancor in our country.
I've never met a person who didn't want to be cool. In fact, I've never met anybody who didn't crave acceptance. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Today's social networking and access to the internet only fans the flame of that age-old desire to impress others. Now kids can strut their stuff to a watching world with a click of a mouse. And if you know teens, you know they're prone to exaggeration. Keep an eye on your child's online activities. Be sure to monitor images your child is sharing and others that might cause problems or damage relationships. Don't allow being cool online to move in an inappropriate direction for your son or daughter. It's our job to protect our kids, even when they can't see into the future.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by John Wood and Rob Robertson of BetterAngels.org. Their website is www.better-angels.org. And the two of them are working on behalf of our country to bring some of the rancor and the polarization of the people that are affected by this back together. So delighted to have them on the show. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing there?
Well, we're doing great. You know, I'd be curious, you know, some initial thoughts. My producer, Logan Rausch, and I often have division in the studio. You know, we look at each other and we don't even want to talk to each other anymore. So do you have any like quick tips for the two of us to help maybe resolve our relationship?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us on. This is John Wood. And, you know, at Better Angels, the thing that we really specialize in is bringing people into sort of a shared space and giving them the opportunity not so much to argue about the issues, but to be honest with one another in terms of where they're coming from in the context of their own life experience and so forth. If you're looking to apply that rule to your relationship with your coworker, it might be good not to sort of go back and forth over who's right or wrong about the issue right off, but to talk a little bit about how it is you came to sort of view things the way you do politically in the first place. So that's a good place to start, because if we don't have an understanding of what sorts of life experiences and what sort of context in which we're experiencing things and looking at things the way that we do, we're not really going to provide the opportunity for us to sort of understand, I think, on a visceral sort of emotional level, the human window, I think, through which we can see the fact that, hey, this person may be looking at an issue a little bit differently than I am, but they're coming from a place that I can ultimately understand. If we do that, we remember that one another are human beings, and we can proceed to actually have a thoughtful dialogue on the subject.
Well, and that word dialogue seems so important, and it's so different than what we are seeing out of Washington now. I know that Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, talked about that if there was another Supreme Court justice to appoint here in a couple of years, that they'd be happy to do that, even though they didn't do that when President Obama was in office. And then we see Hillary Clinton coming out 2 days ago and saying there really is no room for civility when the other party is trying to drive you out of power. And then finally, we see the wife of Senator Rand Paul, Kelly Paul, talking about how she has to have a loaded gun by her bedside these days with security because she's afraid of what might happen. Just, you know, the growing calls and incivility that's happening. I mean, I've got to believe the two of you are troubled by this, and it's part of what is motivating you for the ministry that you do.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely, Peter. This is Rob. I became involved in Better Angels last July, July 2017, when it popped up on the source of all news and information for me. That's Facebook. And I learned a little bit about it, and I'm all in now. I think really that there's nothing to be done right now with our situation at the national level, but where we can work effectively is to help people at the community level learn how to listen to and speak with one another. As far as your relationship with Logan goes, if each of you are telling the other what the other thinks, maybe a good shift for you would be to ask the other what the other thinks and why that is. Open-ended questions are great. Asking people why they feel a certain way is so much better than telling them what they feel. They may be inclined to disagree when you tell them what they think.
Well, and that's one of the hardest practices. And so even in the fun conversation of, you know, how we can apply it in our co-working, that's really, though, the magic to being able to start solving some of these issues is that instead of always being concerned with getting your point across, to step back and listen to the other person. But, boy, that is really tricky discipline to practice.
Mm-hmm. Practice is what it takes. And none of us are perfect at this, and we all come to this with the bad habits we've built up over a lifetime, and especially over the past 2 to 3 years. It takes discipline and intention to get it right.
And as you are working with people, do you have some stories of success where you do see that maybe some people were pretty divisive coming into this, that maybe as they evaluated their own values and their own commitments, that they began to come together in a different kind of way? And maybe, Rob, you can speak to that.
Oh, absolutely. We offer a few different opportunities for people to have an opportunity to speak with one another. One is a red-blue workshop. This is really our signature piece. And in this, we have 7 reds and 7 blues come together for a day of highly structured conversation. Up to 15 observers are welcome. And we see people begin to realize that the folks on the other side don't all think the same way. And people develop trust in the good intentions of folks on the other side. And they express a desire to continue to meet and work with those people. And that certainly is not something that you would expect to see given our current situation. So people have said a number of times in my hearing that we don't seem as far apart as we've been told we are. And I've come to have some faith and confidence in the good intentions of the folks who don't agree with me politically. We're all trying to get to the same place. We have different opinions on how to get there. I think once you get people face to face, an amazing opportunity opens up for them to develop trust and relationships with one another.
We're speaking with John Wood and Rob Robertson of BetterAngels.org, and they have workshops that you can attend in which you can at least start being part at the community level of resolving some of the divides in our country. John and Rob, when we come back from break, I would love to get your perspective on when you do ultimately, though, hit a hurdle of disagreement and difference, and as important as understanding might be of one another, for maybe substantive issues like, let's say, abortion, if you really do end up on each side of the fence with that, how can you stay united even if you have very different commitments and views on something that difficult as we walk out this journey together. So more to come with John and Rob from BetterAngels.org here on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We are speaking with John Wood and Rob Robertson of BetterAngels.org, and we're just talking about ways in which we, even on the personal and community level, can help be a part of healing some of the divide going on in our country. And John, maybe you can speak to this first. We got a listener text in during the break that said this. It says, someone posted a quote on Facebook the other day that said something like, our past advice to never talk about these two things, politics or religion, has brought us to this place where we don't know how to discuss it civilly. And John, I'd say, I know around the Thanksgiving Day table, if either of these topics come up, we sort of all get a deer in the headlights look and we don't really know what to do. Is this part of the problem? We just have never learned how to talk about these things?
Well, first of all, Peter, I want to thank you for lobbing such an easy question at us as we went to break about what do you do when people disagree on subjects, particularly if they're as sensitive as abortion or something like that. And you know, it's amazing. You also asked about individual examples of people who had crossed the bridge to each other towards our program, such as what Rob was. Was describing. And man, I got to tell you, you know, we have pairs within Better Angels who are almost like celebrities within our community. By the way, Better Angels is a national organization, primarily volunteer led, thousands of members across the country, hundreds of volunteers in most states in the union. And within that family, you'll find evangelical Christians and liberal Muslims who have met each other through the workshops, going to church together, learning about one another's value systems and beliefs. You'll find senior officials that focus on the family who have found common ground with well-known LGBT activists and who have developed a relationship and a rapport, and even found areas in which they can work together. But the truth is that if you're getting people like this together at the same table, whether it's at the dinner table, whether it's over the holidays or the workplace or anywhere else, you're not going to have perfect agreement on every issue. As a matter of fact, you're going to have a lot of the same disagreements you likely had before these relationships were forged. The difference is that people, in coming through and going through the processes that have been set up through Better Angel structure and so forth, they've been reminded of the fact that there is a common humanity behind each side of these experiences. And so it gives us a basis on which to continue having a productive conversation that really just goes beyond talking. It goes to us identifying where our common values lie. Because at the end of the day, I mean, even if you do have a difference of opinion on one or two very important social issues that you don't want to back down off of in terms of what you may believe as a person of faith or Christian or otherwise, we still want to recognize that everybody wants to see, at the end of the day, everybody wants to see healthy families. Everybody wants opportunities for their children. And there are all sorts of things we can do to work together on those areas where we have fundamental human agreement. And I agree with Rob. I mean, on a community level in particular, you know, we're always thinking about, oh my gosh, national politics, the Supreme Court. Oh, you know, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. But you know what? It's not just the people in the ivory towers in Washington who have a say on the health of our society. It's folks in the small towns, in the local communities, in the neighborhood councils. That's 99.99% of the country right there, my friend. And so as we fix and repair relationships on that level, it gives us an opportunity to work constructively on a vast range of things that we agree about while continuing the conversation in a more constructive way in those areas where we don't. And in those areas where we don't, time is still on our side if we let the Holy Spirit guide us and if we interact with people in a positive and graceful way. And that's what Better Angels has allowed people to do.
Well, John, I think that's a profound answer to the question. I know that Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church a few years ago got into some hot water as he was serving overseas in Africa, and he just wanted to help people that were troubled and in need. And he said that when he goes to Africa, his leading move is not to worry about the faith of the other person that he might be working with. He wants to work with people of peace across all faiths, just help the needy. And if we start there, then maybe in the future we can start having other conversations. But I think so often we lead with where we all disagree, as opposed to coming together first. And then when we build that relationship, we can start having those harder conversations.
Right. Well said.
This is Rob. I think one important thing to add is that in Better Angels, no one is trying to persuade anyone of anything. Everybody's free to leave the day with the same views that they brought with them that morning. And I think that's one of the secrets of our success. People's defenses tend to drop when they realize that nobody's trying to persuade them that they should change their point of view. That is so helpful for our work. It gives us the room to create an opportunity for people to relax and listen. And we're not doing a lot of listening at the national level, I don't think, or in social media. So this comes, I think, as a great relief to many.
I'd be curious, we have just about a minute left, you two, and I'd be curious your thoughts on how important it is to educate yourself on the opposing point of view. And again, it doesn't mean you're going to have to buy into it, but if you can at least understand where somebody is coming from, it can take some of the sting out of those conversations.
Yeah.
Just asking them why they think what they think is key. You learn a lot just by asking. John?
Yeah, Rob. Well, you know, I heard a great quote recently, and maybe one of you will remember who actually said it, because I can't remember where it came from. But some smart person says something along the lines of, "He who only knows his own side of an argument does not know that." And or something to that effect. And I think that that's true. I mean, folks who we all have different experiences, but if you don't have a window into the experience of the person with whom you disagree, you're never going to have any sense of what you yourself might be missing. Even if it doesn't change your mind, knowing what another person goes through or has been through or has seen or thought about that leads him or her to the conclusion they've arrived at,
is going to help you better articulate your perspective in a way that's going to get that other person to actually listen to it, right?
Well, John,
and if civic society is worth anything at all, it's giving us the opportunity to listen and communicate with each other effectively so that we can actually change things for the better.
John, I love that quote. We'll have to end it there. It's such an important ministry that you two are up to. But since we don't know who gave that quote, we're just going to attribute it to you and put it up on our Facebook page.
Okay, I'll take it.
Great. Hey, have a great morning, you guys. Really appreciate the time here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Great advice from John Wood and Rob Robertson, that at least the starting point is that if we can understand where the other person is coming from, it can help at least take some of the tension out so that we can go ahead and have further constructive dialogue about the beliefs that we might passionately carry. Thanks for listening again here on Faith Radio Mornings. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.